The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Today's scripture reading is Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. The word of God for the people of God.
Recently, I was meeting with a couple who are newer to our church, and they were sharing some of their stories. And the young woman shared that, you know, she had grown up in church, but as is common for many young people, by the time she was in college, wasn't thinking about her faith much. And she experienced some deep hurt in her life as a result of her sin and the sins of others. And at one of her lowest moments, she said she saw that she still had a Bible on her shelf. And so she pulled it down, opened it to a random page, and what she read spoke to exactly what she was experiencing at that time. She said that this experience was instrumental in causing her to submit her life to Christ. That's all it took, was one page of scripture, and it changed her life forever. You know, that's not typically the way that we study the scriptures. Maybe you've experienced something similar, where maybe there's a passage that you've read many times before, and yet you can still find something that you didn't notice, and it speaks to something that's going on in your life at that moment. There's a reason why this happens to us. It's because the scriptures are the living word of God. They are always capable of giving us what we need when we need it. They transcend time and culture. If we haven't met yet, my name is David Sundman, and I have the joy of being a part of the team here with Coram Deo Church. This morning, we're looking at Psalm 71. So if you haven't opened there yet, please turn to Psalm 71. It's on page 453 of the Bible that's under your chair if you're using that one. And let's explore this psalm together. Psalm 71 is written from the perspective of an older man looking back over his life, describing timely hope found in various stages of life, while also offering a timeless hope that all of us need. Something you'll notice in this psalm is that it's all written in I and me and my language. Starting in verse 1. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Many of the Psalms are written using communal language, describing the experience of God's people together. But this psalm is about the psalmist's experience as an individual with his own story. So although we usually try to buck against individualism in our culture, this morning you have permission to consider your own story. What is your hope in life? What would it mean for you to find the same resolute hope that the psalmist is describing in Psalm 71? In verse 3, the psalmist says to God, "Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come." The big idea of the text this morning is simply this. God's word is both timely and timeless. Our two points this morning: God's word is a timely hope, and God's word is a timeless hope. So first, let's notice how God's word is a timely hope. And I want you to notice how this psalm talks about three stages of life: the beginning of life, the middle, and the end of life. God's word is a timely hope for the beginning of life. Look with me starting down at verse 17. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. The psalmist acknowledges a lifetime of learning from God, starting as a young man. And if you're a young person here today, the thing you mainly need is instruction. Young people are trying to figure out how the world works and make sense of things and figure out their place within it. And for young men and women, the question is not whether you are learning or not. Rather, it's who are you allowing yourself to be taught by? These days, where do young people go to learn just about anything? Social media, YouTube, or TikTok. The stats are out there. Many young people are watching social media for hours a day. And what you will no doubt learn at some point from influencers and celebrities on those platforms is materialism, obsessive beauty standards, hypersexuality, radical political views. And what has this led to? A generation that is simultaneously the most affluent and comfortable, and also the most depressed and anxious in all of U.S. history. We are shaped by the content we consume. And so we have to ask, if someone is consuming hours of social media content every day, what kind of person will they become? Well, surely not the same kind of person that we will become if we consume God's word for hours every day. But here's the reality. It's so much easier to watch TikTok for hours a day than it is to sit down and read your Bible, even for 5 minutes. Why is that? Well, in part, it's because social media is designed to keep you watching it. It's all about instant gratification. Every few seconds, you get a dopamine hit in your brain every time a new video pops up over and over and over again. It's addicting. And through all of it, you're consuming information, learning, passively being shaped by it. The Bible is not designed to give us a dopamine hit every few seconds when we read it. Rather, the fruit from studying the scriptures tends to come from delayed gratification. Something that's noteworthy about Psalm 71 is how clearly the language mirrors other passages of scripture, mostly other Psalms, which you can see here. I won't walk through all of these, but just to show you some of those connections that are made in this psalm. This is someone who over a lifetime has internalized the instruction of God, and the scriptures have become the lens through which they view the events of their life. This shows us that if a young person consumes God's word daily, then over time, they will become a certain kind of person. Namely, someone who, like the psalmist, knows and trusts God and experiences intense gratitude, who wants to tell people about how good God has been to them. In this way, gratitude becomes an antidote to anxiety. Look at verses 5 and 6. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. The psalmist understands that God is the giver and sustainer of his life. So how could he not also trust the giver of life to teach him how to live his life? This is what the anxious generation needs, to know that there is a God who created them, who cares about them, who holds their life in his hand, and upon whom they can lean on at all times. That's the hope of being instructed by God, that we would know him and trust him in that way. So if you are a young person here today, you can find hope in Psalm 71, knowing that God will instruct you in his ways so that you can trust in his faithfulness for the rest of your life. Notice also, God's word is a timely hope for the middle of life. Look at verse 4. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. When we grow up, we become adults, and at some point we realize the world is not the way that it's supposed to be. Just in this verse, he mentions wickedness and injustice and cruelty, which all exist in our world. And as adults, we become acutely aware that there are people in our world who want to do others harm. Look at verses 10 through 13. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace, may they be covered who seek my hurt. The psalmist is acknowledging that there are people who want to do him harm in numerous ways, verbally, physically, and spiritually. Notice, they speak concerning him in verse 10. They're accusers in verse 13. That's verbal harm. They're pursuing to seize him in verse 11. That's physical harm. And also in verse 11, they say God has forsaken him. In other words, God doesn't care about you. God's not going to help you. That's spiritual harm. And I don't need to know the stories of everyone in this room to know that everyone here has experienced one, if not all, of these kinds of harm at some point. Maybe this harm has been done to you by a family member who abused or neglected you. Maybe it was a friend who you trusted who ended up betraying you. Maybe it was a spouse who broke their marital covenant, caused a divorce. Or there's enmity among family members. Or maybe it was someone in the church who told lies about you, said that you did something that you didn't do, or some other form of spiritual abuse. All of these are the consequences of broken human relationships. And they have the potential to cause us to become bitter and resentful and to turn away from God. Or they have the potential to refine us, to mature us, to strengthen our faith as we trust in God in the midst of it. In his book, Sacred Fire, Ronald Rollheiser puts it this way. We live in families, are part of church congregations, have colleagues with whom we work, have a circle of friends, and are part of a larger civic community. In every one of these, there will come a time when we will get hurt, when we will not be honored, when we will be taken for granted and treated unfairly. Suffering and humiliation finds us all, and in full measure. But how we respond to them will determine both the level of our maturity and what kind of person we are. Suffering and humiliation will either soften our hearts or harden our souls. The timely hope for the middle of life is the hope of refinement. Refinement. For the psalmist of Psalm 71, the hurt of others has not caused him to become bitter. Rather, it has refined him as he experiences deeper trust in God. Look at verses 20 and 21. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. Did you catch what he said there in verse 20? God has made him see many troubles and calamities. The psalmist understands God's sovereignty and doesn't view the challenges of life as outside of God's control. Instead, the psalmist understands that God uses these experiences to draw us closer to him. The psalmist is someone who has seen low points in life. And rather than becoming cynical, they celebrate the ways that God has provided rescue and comfort through it all. He's praising God through all of it. In 10 out of the 24 verses of Psalm 71, the psalmist talks about praising God. Almost half of them. Here's just a few of them. Verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. In verse 23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. The adversity of life has not caused the psalmist to turn away from God. Rather, it's caused him to turn towards God. And in receiving help from God, the psalmist is caused to rejoice. This is a sure mark of someone who is grateful for what God has done in their life. They talk about it. In the words of Dane Ortlund commenting on Psalm 71, adversity is not intended to diminish our hope in God. Adversity is intended to heighten our hope in Him. We are brought to remember that God is all we have and that He is enough. And when this happens, when someone goes through adversity and comes out the other end of it with a stronger faith, praising God through it all, it's actually quite miraculous. That's what the psalmist says of his own life in verse 7. I have been as a portent to many. Portent is not a word that we use frequently. A portent is a sign that something miraculous has happened. The same Hebrew root word is used in the Old Testament to describe miracles, like in Exodus 4:21, which says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'When you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power.'" The same root word is used there. The psalmist is saying that his life is an example for others of God doing something miraculous. For someone to go through intense abuse and mistreatment and be refined by it, instead of being destroyed by it, others will have to look at it and say, that must be God. It must be their faith in Him that made the difference for them. This is the hope of refinement. That the adversity that we will inevitably experience in our lives will end up serving as an example of God's power to rescue and comfort us, even in the worst circumstances. So if you're here this morning in the middle of your life, you can find hope in Psalm 71, knowing that God can use adversity to refine you, so that you will trust in Him and Him alone. And in Him, you will find comfort and redemption. Notice finally that Psalm 71 gives us a timely hope for the end of life. After a lifetime of trusting in God, what the psalmist wants to do most is to proclaim God's goodness to the next generation. Look at verses 17 and 18. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. That's the vision that the psalmist has for his later years. He longs to pass on what he knows about God to other people, specifically younger people. He has a lifetime worth of stories and knowledge about the God who has rescued and comforted him, and he doesn't want to keep it to himself. Yet, this is not the vision our culture has given us for the last stage of our lives, is it? The vision that many older people have been offered is just to retire early with enough money to live on a golf course or a beach and just enjoy yourself. John Piper, in his aptly titled book, Don't Waste Your Life, calls this an American tragedy. This is what he writes. I will tell you what a tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider a story from the February 1998 edition of Reader's Digest, which tells about a couple who took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. At first, when I read it, I thought it might be a joke, a spoof on the American dream. But it wasn't. Tragically, this was the dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only precious God-given life, and let the last great work of your life before you give an account to your Creator be this: playing softball and collecting shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells. That is a tragedy. And people today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. Over against that, I put my protest. Don't buy it. Don't waste your life. If you are an older man or woman who has been following Jesus for many years, then you have a lifetime of stories of God's grace to share with younger people here in this church. It's part of how they will find hope in God's instruction. They will see God's faithfulness modeled in your life. So if you feel like you're one of the older people in the room, not naming ages here, okay? You can decide for yourself. I want you to know that you're needed here. God has given you the important task of modeling the instruction and the refinement that we see in Psalm 71 and sharing with others all of the wonderful things that God has done in your life. That is the hope of legacy. So if you're nearing the end of your life, you can find hope in Psalm 71, knowing that God will use you to proclaim his glory to the next generation. Now we've seen a timely hope for the beginning of life, the hope of instruction, and for the middle of life, the hope of refinement, and for the end of life, the hope of legacy. Psalm 71 offers us timely hope for each season of life, but notice also that Psalm 71 doesn't just contain a timely hope, it also contains a timeless hope. Returning to verse 20, "You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again." This is not just figurative language about how God can lift us out of difficult circumstances. It's also an allusion to the resurrection. That's our timeless hope, the hope of resurrection. One day, all of us will come to the end of life, and we will be buried in the depths of the earth. But even then, hope is not lost. The timeless hope that all of us need, regardless of what season of life we're in, is that God can raise us from the dead. As followers of Jesus, that's what we believe. All of us have an enemy in death. And there are some who are part of this community who are standing face to face with the possibility of death right now. Because of cancer and other illnesses. But the good news is that Jesus Christ defeated death through his resurrection. Consider how Psalm 71 reads for Jesus. At the time of his death, it seemed as if his enemies had prevailed. Yet the resurrection proved that in the end, he was victorious. His enemies believed they had trapped him, Read again verses 10 and 11. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. This is what they said of Jesus as they plotted together to trap him through false accusations to put him to death. Truly, the worst verbal abuse, physical abuse, and spiritual abuse in all of creation was perpetrated against Jesus at the crucifixion. After he was captured and beaten and nailed to the cross, the religious leaders mocked him by saying in Matthew 27, he trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. You can hear their sarcasm, but the irony is that Jesus did trust God, his Father. He knew all along that he had to die, but he also knew that he would be raised to life again. And it's when he was resurrected that his enemies were put to shame. Let's look at the final words of Psalm 71 in verse 24. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. The worst that Jesus' enemies could do was kill him. And they succeeded at that. But death did not have the final word. And it doesn't in Psalm 71. Jesus got up out of the grave. And in doing so, he defeated death. That means for all of us, even in the face of death, we can have hope. Because Jesus rose from the grave, we can too, if we trust in him. Jesus said boldly of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. That is the timeless hope that all of us need. We need the hope of resurrection. We need Jesus. For a teenager addicted to scrolling TikTok, whose mind is filled with anxiety, or the man or woman carrying shame and anger from the abuse that they've endured, or the elderly person whose body is failing, or for the families mourning the loss of precious children at a Christian summer camp in the horrific floods in Texas last week. The resurrection is their timeless hope. There is no pain in life, no depth of despair, no harm that can be done to us that cannot be overcome by the hope of the resurrection that Jesus offers us. Because the resurrection ensures that in the future, we will experience a world where sickness, suffering, sin, and death will no longer exist. Just believe in Jesus, and that timeless hope can be yours. God's word is a timely hope, and God's word is a timeless hope. We are invited to embrace both kinds of hope. Some people emphasize only the timeless hope and neglect the timely, leading to a Christian faith that is mainly just waiting for heaven as the main point. While other people emphasize only the timely hope of the gospel, but neglect the timeless, leading to a Christian faith that is mainly about finding emotional comfort in this world, but not expectation and preparation for the next. The grace of God gives us hope now and hope later. And so I want to ask you in closing, what season of life are you in? What do you need to take away from this psalm for your season of life? What tends to get you down, demoralize you, steal your joy and your hope? Where is this psalm inviting you to fresh repentance and faith? How can God be your rock of refuge, to whom you may continually come, for now and for eternity? Let's pray. Gracious, glorious God, we thank you for creating us in your image, bringing us into this world, knitting us together in our mother's womb, knowing us long before we knew you, caring for us, loving us, even when we were far from you, even when we lacked faith in you. You still drew us near to you because of your grace, because you love us and desire for us to be with you. We pray this morning for those who are experiencing the pains of living in a fallen world. We pray for those who are experiencing the pain of broken relationships, the emotional distress that they cause. And we pray for those who are experiencing the brokenness of the physical creation, whose bodies are failing, who are facing death. Would all of us find the hope that we need this morning from your word? And would we be a people who are quick to encourage each other with your word, not the hopes of this world? And would the hope of the resurrection give us great joy, no matter what we're going through right now, that we can look forward to a day when we will experience the new heavens and the new earth with you? We thank you. We pray all of this in the name of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.